Awesome. Well, I am so stoked to be here, guys, and meet you guys. And, you know, I want to introduce myself and my beautiful wife here. My name's Yuli. This is my wife, Toni. And we both had the privilege to co-found Christian Skaters. You know, I'll give you just a quick intro, and then I want to get into what we're going to be talking about. But, you know, many years ago, I walked into a skate park that had a Bible study. And with that, I gave my life to the Lord. I surrendered and went home, shared it with my wife. And it wasn't long after my wife got involved. And Christian Skaters was kind of born because there was a need to unify the skate ministries out there, because there was not many and we weren't connecting and communicating, and the technology back then too wasn't, I mean, I don't think we had like the whole cell phone like craziness like we have now with the Instagrams and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But we had this heart to really unify this community of skateboarders. But you know, I just want to let Toni go for it.
So anyways, Sticky Spaces, it's kind of a strange name, but it's Sticky Spaces are just community spaces that you continue to go back to, that open up opportunities to share your space. They allow for deeper conversations to naturally happen and leave a lasting impact. So like Yuli was talking about the skate park. If you're a skater, you go to the skate park at least once a week here or there constantly. So it's a little different than if you're going to a church or to a Bible study. You get hours and hours with people. So that's kind of what we're talking about today. So so to kind of give you a little background, we all, you know, if you're here for an evangelism conference, you usually share Christ. And but it's really hard to do in your backyard. So we have this neighbor, his name's Gus. He lives next door to us, and he is one of those guys that takes very good care of his grass. And if I step out of my car and a toe goes on his grass, he's outside yelling at us right away. And he's one of those people that's hard to build a relationship with for me. My husband does a better job. But my kids have a name for him. It's really funny, and they're always, when he's not home, putting their toe in his grass because he has cameras just to see what he'll say. And so, you know, so all, often when we share in our backyard, it's a little more difficult. So we might be going, you know, to another country or doing an event, but when we're sharing with the people right around us, whether it's our family or the people next door, it's difficult. So really, God, we live in South Florida. Almost everybody, you know, knows we live about 5 minutes from Stoneman Douglas. There's, you know, a terrible school shooting there, and that kind of just gave me that opportunity to love on our community and to see the good in our community. And regardless of our backgrounds or our faith beliefs, or just, you know, anything about where we're at, it was really cool to see the community together and just to love each other. So that's kind of what we're talking about. So I have a short video, and just want you to look at it, and as you watch it, think about God's creation and how God's created so much diversity and so much beauty. Make sure it works here. So when you look at that, I just think of, like, you know, we have this world that's filled with different climates and different landscapes and cultures, and then there's all different people, and they're all created by God. They're all different parts of God's creation and His body. And even if they aren't yet a Christian, they're still seeking, they're still looking for something. So in our community next door, where we live in South Florida, in our neighborhood, we have people from China, we have people from Jamaica, we have people from Haiti. We have a guy down the street that's Canadian and Cuban. Strangest mix ever, but you know, we have people from all over the world just in our little six streets in our neighborhood, which is pretty amazing. So So really, you know, I've been convicted of how are we reaching those people right next door to us? How are we loving on the people right beside us? We have a guy kitty corner from us that's in his 80s. He's written articles for National Geographic, and he discovered Preparation H, and I would have, you know, this just weird things, but he just lost his wife to cancer, and he has no family. And so your community becomes your family. And honestly, we've touched on what we do, but I haven't been able to share with them yet. And I think building those relationships gives us that opportunity. And that's kind of, you know, so I wanted you to kind of think, if you're willing to share, you know, a person that in the circumstances under which you came to know the Lord, Would either one of you share?
Yeah. So I was working. I was a chiropractor, my first job, and the guy I was working for, his brother-in-law was the office manager, and he was radically on fire for the Lord. Scripture written everywhere, praying for people, and so I was like, I was raised in the Catholic Church. But it was more cultural, I could have passed a multiple choice test. so he invited me to a kind of a bluegrass Christian band concert. These guys were called the Songwriters, fiddles and banjos, and very charismatic. I mean, they preached every other breath. And I had never seen anybody go forward. That you don't go forward in the Catholic Church. And I'd never heard the word salvation. And the Lord just picked me up in the middle of the service, and I walked forward about an hour before the altar call and stood in front of the church. I had no idea what I was doing. And then they tried to explain the gospel to me, which I didn't understand. I didn't know two books of the Bible. I had never opened the Bible in my life. But I knew something happened. I went home that night, couldn't sleep. My wife would say, because she grew up in the church, and she just married a heathen like me. And so I think she would say, I'll give it a week. And that was in 1982. And so it's just, you know, so I'm here with you guys.
Yeah.
But he persisted in inviting and asking. And I was like, come on. I went with him to shut him up. I'll just go.
God hurts him.
And, little did I know, my name had been written down. God does what he wants with who he wants, when he wants, for what he wants.
That's awesome. How did you?
I came to faith at a vacation Bible school. I was more scared of going to hell. I had always grown up going to church, but I think I was more scared of going to hell. So I re-accepted Jesus many times.
So how old were you?
8 years old.
So you were young. Okay.
Very young. Yeah. Okay. Very young. And it was the fear of hell that was the big driving factor, because we always went to church, you know, from the time I was little, so.
So as I think about it in community, so we talk about, you know, relationships and building relationships. So as far as, you know, different places that you can share your faith in your community, we're talking, you know, like we have a book club or more like a Bible study of women, but anybody's invited. We do. We also have a group. We work with homeschoolers in our community, and it's for all different homeschoolers, whether they're Christians or not. And just even going to our local grocery store down the street. My husband knows all the cashier people, all of their names, and says hi, asks how their family is every week. And it's just thinking about those intentional spaces that we're at and how we can build relationships, because Jesus was relational. He invited disciples to live with him. He allowed disciples to learn from him. He taught them intentionally, and he modeled God's kingdom. And then he equipped them with biblical foundations. So are we living out our faith all the time, or are we just going, you know, through the motions because that's what we do? We're an evangelist, so we have to do this. Or on our time off, are we intentionally living with the people who we encounter every day in what we're doing? So, so there's a couple of pillars of a healthy community, regardless if it's a Christian community or not, and these are some things to think about. Just communication. Can we overcome communication barriers? Do we have a common purpose? So what does our community need, and what are our passions, and how can those align? Trust. Actually, it's funny. Brett Davis, he's the founder of Christian Surfers, always tells us that relationships move at the speed of trust. And what he means by that is, you know, as you grow in your relationships and you deepen your trust with somebody, you're going to have, you know, deeper, more intimacy with them. And regardless if it's somebody that you know next door or somebody that you meet on a weekly basis, I really feel like those deeper relationships allow you to speak about spiritual things, mm-hmm. and to get into those different avenues where you can actually open somebody up to talking about the Lord. And then diversity. Do we celebrate diversity and love regardless of differences? It's we have a tendency to just separate and divide from people and to hang with people most like us. This morning, I went to sit down for breakfast, and all the Action Sports people sat together and we did that because it was comfortable, and it was you know what we're used to. It's people like us. It takes me a lot, because I'm kind of introverted, to go sit with somebody I don't know, and I have to really force myself. And that's the same with different cultures. If I don't know them very well, it's hard for me to sit down with somebody of a different culture, that because I don't know how to act around them. I don't know what to say. So are we celebrating diversity and loving the differences God gave us regardless? And so that's something. If you're an extrovert like Yuli, it's no problem. But for somebody like me, I actually have to get out of my comfort zone. But I have to always remind myself that everybody has a contribution to make. Just like, you know, hanging out with as a young woman hanging out with an older woman, or an older woman hanging out with younger women to mentor each other. Are you making those efforts to do that, or an older man hanging out with a younger man? There's so many differences that a lot of times we just stay away from because it's not comfortable, and it takes a lot of risk to go into a situation where you might not be comfortable with. So a sticky space allows you to draw a community together with a variety of gifts and backgrounds. We run an Instagram page, and it basically brings artists together. It's called Push for Good. And we have artists of all different backgrounds, and when we do events with artists, we get some crazy people that come out because they're artists and they're creative people. But it's really neat to talk to people and find out what you do have in common regardless of how different you appear on the outside. So there's so many ways. They do a run club at our local surf shop, and they all meet up and run. And there's people from all different backgrounds. There's lifeguards, people that are just trying to get in shape. Moms that just had a kid trying to lose weight. And just you have all these different people coming together. There's so many opportunities in your community with what you're passionate about to be able to create a space where you can deepen and build relationships, but then go ahead and share your faith. So I wanted, I'm going to kind of wrap up my section, but I wanted you guys to, thought we might have more people, but it's just fine, but just write on the sticky notes. You could think about a couple of places where you think that you could invest in your community that could become a sticky place that you go back and forth to, that you're able to see the same people share your faith. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a church, someplace in your community that people of various faiths and different backgrounds come to. So there's some questions to ask yourself. There's where are places in your community that you can contribute to growing that community? What might it look like to get out of your comfort zone and invest in those who live next door? And then think about areas that you visit regularly, things that you enjoy or are passionate about, and places that your community congregates. And how can you create places that people long to come back to?
So I want you to kind of think about that. You can just go ahead and write them and just stick them on the table.
You know, as Tony's speaking about communities, you know, and different areas we got involved, I mean, getting involved in your community, you know, wherever you live, you know, we live in Coconut Creek, and, you know, your community has all kinds of resources for you to get involved in. Like, for instance, you know, I like to take care of myself a little. You know, I used to not, and I gained a lot of weight, and then I started taking care of myself. Of course, I like to go to the gym or stuff like that, right? And sometimes that can be really expensive, and you go, and there's a bunch of people, and everybody's, but your community centers have those areas for you to be, to exist, you know, and to be a part of. There's a lot of art, there's a lot of music, you know, as Tony said, Push for Good. Push for Good was birthed because of a relationship that I had with a skater that isn't a Christian, and I'd ask for you to write his name down. His name's Chuck Trace. He's significant because he's I guess he was in the last black and white cover of Thrasher, and he's African American, right? So he's like significant, and he rips. He's great, but his viewpoints on you know, as far as Christianity is a little different. I don't push that, but I've partnered with him because me and him both have this desire to reach a community of skating, music, and art. And through that, it's allowed me to share my faith with Chuck, and Chuck share his faith with me, because, you know, Chuck comes from the background of like kind of Rastafarianism, and, you know, and but yet he's heard Jesus, so I don't have to necessarily show him who Jesus is. He knows who he is. I just have to be an example, right? And I want to talk to you a little bit about how Jesus, how he went into the community. One of his first miracles was what? Turning water into wine, right? Well, he was at a wedding, right? Why was he there? It's because he was invited, right? And he turned water into wine. And a lot of people argue, I've heard so many evangelists argue that it was the new wine, it wasn't, well, here's the deal. Back then they had the goods, bro. And you know what? He turned water into wine. And the fact is that he met a need. He met a need. He met a need there, and he spoke to a lot of people. And I think people were like, whoa, who is this guy? You know? Because if you think about it, you know, they were expecting a Messiah. You know, a lot of people were known that, hey, the Messiah's coming, you know, and he went into the community and turned water into wine. And I am encouraged by the way he met a need. As Tony mentioned earlier, we talked about, she talked about the Stoneman Douglas shooting. So in fact, that was so gnarly because it was like 8 miles from my house. Now I want you to know something. It's different when you see it on TV and when it's in your backyard. I'm telling you, those kids were devastated, okay? And I'm telling you how I am, I'm just like, I'll pray for them, you know? I'm gonna protect my kids. My wife was like, no, we need to do something. So my wife contacted people, and she went to where they're at, because remember, the memorial was right there, it was 8 miles away. And so she dragged us over to hang out, and she started to listen, to know that the workers, the first responders, needed to be fed. They needed support, and the kids needed us to be there and cry and mourn and be there with them. Not to tell them, oh, because a lot, you know, remember, there, a lot of people had political agendas. Don't take our guns from us, or don't do that. But we were there, man. We were there. And I remember, you know, those kids that you saw on TV, Tony told me not to name them, and I won't, to protect. But we had them at our house. Why? Tony met a practical need. She's like, you know what? They're in school, and they got all their stuff got taken from them, and they have to go back. Why don't we call Steve Van Doren from Vans, tell him the need, and see if he'll donate some backpacks. They donated close to 3,000 backpacks. It was gnarly. I mean, I'm telling you, we had boxes and boxes, and all this stuff started. So guess what we started to do? We started to kind of hang out with these kids. And those kids that were politically being kind of manipulated in a way, and they were also manipulating a little bit, because, I mean, they wanted to change, so then they got into, we had them at our house. As a matter of fact, one of them, I just say, hey, you want to go dive with me, you know? And I just started building relationships with them. I saw Tony pray with one of the girls, and one of the ones that you probably saw on TV. And you know what? Let's face it. The world's is to have different communities, and there's communities that we don't agree with. We have the lesbian community, lesbian gay community. We have, you know, all kinds of communities out there that we might necessarily not agree with. There's even the drug community. Man, that was like a scene. These kids go and they hang out, and there's like they're gonna drop acid and be together, and it's like this huge. That's a community. That's a community. They feel, and if you go to a rehab, they feel like what? Their community. And what did Jesus say when your faith isn't affecting these communities, right? The people around you, then what is it? It's in vain, right? So that's why one of the big things for us was to be involved in our community. And sometimes you're gonna be put in a situation you may not agree with their community. Like, I don't agree with the lesbian and gay community. I don't. However, God has allowed me to be part of their community because we live in South Florida and they have their community. Hey, why don't you go and be there? Why don't you be there and talk to them? And when they try to tell you, oh, I'm born this way, instead of arguing with them, say, you know what? You're absolutely right. You're born this way. I was born this way too. I was born in sin. And then they'll be blown away. Like, what do you mean? Say, let me tell you a little story on the Bible about Sodom and Gomorrah, about Lot and his dog. And they're blown away that this is even in the Bible. And they're like, whoa. And then you start to commute, you know, meet that need. And I'll tell you, man, it's not long until they'll want to talk to you more. And then they'll be more like softer to receive the gospel. Because I said it in the last thing is, if you're not sharing the gospel, then really what are you doing? Right? So it's like you're being part of these communities, yet you're being quiet and you're waiting for every opportunity. And there's some things that is important. You know, pray, connect, and find. You know, pray. If you're going to be part of something, pray about it, you know? One of the things we had to do is like, you know, hey, this is gnarly. This kid went in there and shot up the school, and it's right there. I mean, we could hear the sirens. We could hear it all, you know? And in fact, my wife got so scared the next day that she asked me to go pick up my son, right? Pick up my son. I picked up my son from school. Next thing you know what? I'm in a closet with a bunch of teachers. In the closet with my little son, because they thought there was an active shooter at my son's school the day after Stoneman Douglas. So guess what? I'm in that closet and I built these relationships with the teachers. So you know what I did? I took a handful of Starbucks cards. I came back and I introduced myself and I thanked all the teachers. So when I go into that school now, they know me by name. And you know what? It's giving me opportunities to share God with them, right? And I think that is really important when you think about these sticky spaces, you know, because, you know, you're getting involved with these communities, but then, hey, we got to share the gospel, right? We got to have every opportunity. And for me, it's best to meet personal needs. One thing that I do, and I do every Saturday, and I believe I don't do enough of it, is I do free surf lessons. Every Saturday morning, I connect with my local surf shop, and they do this thing, and it's free surf lessons, 7 o'clock every morning. And dude, we see like 200-300 people, and they come from all over. Remember, South Florida, it's you know, the people come for vacation. So I see a lot of Canadians. I see a lot of people from all over the world, and they're learning how to surf, right? So I take them out and I push them on a surfboard, and I'm there diligently. And guess what they let me do? They let me share a verse, one verse. And it's 1 Peter 4:8. Above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sin. Listen, I have said that verse over and over. It's never changed. Now, some people that have done it before me, they like to change up the verse. I don't. I keep it there, and they let me say the verse, and then I explain it. And I always tell them this. I go, look, man, it's 7 o'clock in the morning, and you can ask my wife, it takes God and country to wake me up in the morning, okay? But nobody wakes me up Saturday morning. I may look like an armpit right now at 7 o'clock in the morning, but I'm here because I love to surf. And I love to instruct surfing. And then I tell them, hey, I want to share this verse that comes from the New Testament. It's about love. It covers a multitude of sin. And I always say the same thing. And I'm going to tell you, because I have faith to do that, it allows people to come. You know, some people don't, some people do. But I've had people ask me, say, hey, we're not we're not believers, you know, we're Muslim or we're Jewish, but I really am interested in what you're talking about. So, you know, again, you know, that I want to stay connected because I mean stay focused. But you know, pray, connect, find. You know, connecting is generally with the community. I want to connect with the community. So, what's my community? Well, it's really getting involved with what's going around you. Like I said earlier, there's different communities out there that you may not agree with, but it's important to connect with, right? And then find those people that are listening to what you're saying. You'll know once you like start doing it. It's like God allows you, and you'll find that one person. Does it need to be thousands of people? Does it need to be 100 people? No. Why? What does the Bible say? If it's just one person, you know? Yesterday, last night, two people raised their hand at a skate church to receive God. At first, I was like, man, it's like 50 kids, only two. Well, guess what? Tim came up to me and told me, bro, that never happens, man. Two kids, he was so excited. He went in the back and he wrote their names down. He goes, man, I want to take this kid. I want to put him in. And I'm like, man, Tim's so excited about that. Two people, right? And it's like, man, he found them, you know? And now it's time to really start discipling those kids. So I love that. So yeah, so that's, you know, basically some of the things that I believe that is important when we think about the communities and sharing the gospel within the community. So, you know, the sharing faith is, you know, I'll let Tony speak a little bit about this.
Yeah. So basically we're talking about, so when you're in those community situations, you know, and you're getting to know people in your community, you're going to start having simple conversations. And the more you get to know them, you get to know their family too, they are, that opens up the opportunity to discuss more serious issues. You know, you can say, you know, how is your mom doing? And you can get into the deeper issues, and that allows you to lead into spiritual questions in their life. And then from there, you can give them scriptural answers for what they're dealing with in their life. And it doesn't always have to be, you don't always have to open the Bible. You can say, well, you know, this is what I know and I believe from my faith. And so there's simple progressions to do for people that might seem closed off, but they really aren't. You have an opportunity through getting to know them and being involved in their life. So that's just a simple way to go. It's just called the four S's. Start with something simple. You get in, the more you get to know them, it becomes more serious conversations, which can lead to spiritual conversations and scriptural conversations. So it's a couple ways. I mean, when Yuli was talking about Stoneman Douglas, right? That it was, I've been part of a Bible study, so my desktop's very dirty in there. I need to I'm not unplugging it, sorry. I'm embarrassed. But yeah, Stoneman Douglas, I've been part of a Bible study for years, and we've, you know, the same ladies have met for years and years, and we wanted to do something, and they made up a makeshift grief center. And just through 10 ladies, we were able to feed 800 people four times a day that were going through the grief centers. And on top of that, we were able to minister to the Red Cross workers that were working there. And they just needed hugs. They needed people. They were hearing really hard stories. And I was able to just go out to the markers of all the kids that have lost their life, and I would see a kid crying or a mom crying or a dad crying, and just be able to say, hey, can I just put a hand on their shoulder? You know, can I pray for you? And it didn't matter if they were Muslim. We have a huge Brazilian community. I got our Brazilian church involved. They came out and did worship music at the memorial with some of their youth. And then she started a mom's breakfast for all the Brazilian families that were there. And it was where the shooting happened is a place that you move to because it's safe. Everybody wants to live in Parkland because it's an affluent community, it's low in crime, you have no problems. So all these Brazilian families had moved there because they were doctors or whatever, and they were bringing their kids to a safe place in the United States and getting away from the crime that they had in Brazil. And hearing the mom's stories and having my friend Giselle translate for me what they went through, and it was incredible. But just through 10 of us, we were able to do so much ministry just because we were willing, and just to go out into our community. And I challenged all the ladies in my group. I said, just get one of those kids or one of those moms' phone numbers, and for the next year, just stay in touch with them. And so I met a girl from the community that lost two of her best friends right next to her in the hallway. And we talk probably every 2 weeks. I text her, I tell her I'm praying for her, I ask her how she's doing. When she's in town, she's in college now. When she's in town, we have lunch together. And because of that, she's brought friends over our house that have gone through the same thing. And we've had this ongoing relationship just because I care, just because I sat next to her at her friend's memorial and hugged her when she was crying. And so those kind of things, like when we start to care about the people next to us instead of judging them about you know, their culture, where they come from, what they're doing, and we start really caring about the people who live next door. So if I can get over my neighbor Gus when he says stepping on his grass, maybe I help him with his grass next time. You know, just being able to love the people next to you is a huge thing. And we've seen that in our community. We live in a, like I said, it's six streets. We have a homeowners association. Everybody's always arguing. But when we get together and we do stuff as a community, you see a huge change. And so that's just something I want to encourage.
And last thing that I really am thankful for is how needs can be met. And through home, our love for surfing and skating, because I'll tell you, I grew up skating, love surfing, and I just love it. I love the water, right? And I know we're bringing up this tragedy, Stoneman Douglas, and there's so many other things one of the things that happened right in our backyard is all these kids who are getting scooped out of school. Boom, out of school. And guess what happened? The homeschool community doubled, tripled. All these kids are sitting around at the house and they're just hanging out at the house, and mom and dad are, and I saw families needed a need. And Tony and I were talking one day, and she has a heart for science. She loves science. One thing I know about my wife is she always wants to know how something works. And she loves the whole science, the environmental science, to the science of skating. Our relationship for many years with Paul Schmidt and understanding Create a Skate and how a skateboard's made and how skating's done. Well, guess what happened? We innovated something by the grace of God, and we call it Surf Skate Science. And now we do classes. Now we do them twice a week. Once on Wednesday, one every other Wednesday. And on Friday, we do surf and skate. And we meet up with these kids. We have kids. There are 30 kids, okay? Up to 30 kids. And we teach them the science behind skating and how a skateboard's put together and how, like, you know, it's a simple machine and how, you know, it's a compound machine. It's so cool, right? And then surfing. We go out and we do a lab, and she does this amazing thing where it's like, I mean, we just did a field day, and we went to a weather. It's the coolest thing. And it was how they do a weather. And I don't know if you know this, but when the weatherman's pointing, he's pointing at a green thing. I didn't even knew about that. And he's pointing, and it's like there's a science behind it. Now he's doing it. We took these homeschool kids, and we're just building this community in hopes to be a light and to be salt in order to share the gospel with these families, because they come from all over the world. We had one family, they were living on a boat. You know how, like, the world makes the people that live on a boat, like, glamorous? It's not glamorous, man. They all look like armpits, and they're basically, like, surviving on this small little boat. And you should see but they're amazing. They're amazing. Their faith, and it's like they're at our school, they're at our class, and we get opportunity, and next you know it, there's this community. And the homeschool moms, man, they're like a tribe of women and men, but the parents, and they're a tribe, and then they get to meet each other, and next you know it, they're hanging out at the skate park, and they're all being community. And that isn't a great example people. And it's not through us, it's through God and meeting that need, you know? So that's just an example of what, you know, we have done through God and having faith and meeting the needs in the community. So, you know, hopefully that encourages you guys. And, you know, there's not many people here, but I guess we can open it up and talk a little bit more about what you guys are doing in your community and how you guys got involved. Because I know that you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. And I'd like to hear how you guys are encouraging your communities. And what communities are you drawn to?
Well, to get out of the church, I try to, I've gotten involved in a drug-free community grant group that's trying to lower drug and alcohol use by youth. And so we have like a student club on the high school campus and the middle school campus in our school district. Plus, it's kind of a sector coalition. So I represent the faith sector, but we have like government, law enforcement, healthcare, schools, you know, kind of all that. So trying to make just common connections and stuff. And we're working toward the good of the community. But what's challenging is trying to bridge that out, you know, to get more people engaged. And so the thing we found is we did a big event that really kind of raised our profile in the community. We brought in a guy named Chris Heron, who's a, you know, former basketball player, got involved in drug use, almost, you know, took his life and stuff. And then now he's, you know, going to school assemblies and stuff like that. So it's really kind of raised our profile. And we're hoping he's coming back again in November. And we're trying to use that as another catalyst, because I want to be there. I believe in the cause, but I also believe in the ultimate cause, you know. Right. And I'm trying to figure out how I can have opportunity to, you know, share my faith in the midst of, you know, I'll say the reason I'm here is because I love Jesus and stuff, but I don't have platform, you know, to share the gospel per se.
Have you heard of the Whosoevers before?
The Whosoevers? No. Yeah. Uh-uh.
You should check them out, because they do a school assembly similar, but they're faith-based. But a lot of the guys are skateboarders, or the singer from POD, and they actually do public school assemblies.
Oh, cool.
Maybe there's somebody you can bring in the future, and they'll tie that in for you.
Yeah.
You know, and without it, you know, it's pretty awesome. But that would be a great resource for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's been a huge thing. It's actually what we're talking about the next session, about collaborating, is like, is how do you work with your local cities and all that to do stuff. That's a great way to do it.
Yeah, it's been neat, but it's been hard.
It's hard.
It's good that you keep doing it, though, because that's the important thing, that it's long-lasting and it brings people in, you know?
Yeah, and the gal I work with is the actual staff person for the grant itself. You know, she goes to our church. But trying to get it beyond us has been just so hard, because it's like, I'll talk to people at other churches in the area, you know, they'll ignore, you know, any calls or anything. A lot of times I think churches don't see that it's an important need, because I think they feel like, oh, no one's doing that in my group, so. And yet we know a lot of times, you know, they are.
Yeah.
It's just, it's hidden.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's not at youth group activities per se, but it's happening other times. But yeah, just trying to figure out how to get the churches to mobilize behind community. Like, that's what I liked about this as a topic, because we're trying to get outside and be about going into the community instead of just, like, we have a food pantry, we have a severe weather shelter, we have a weekly meal for the homeless.
Right.
So they're all come to us kinds of things. And we're trying to get, you know, how do we go to them?
One thing I can you know, give you some kind of thing that works for me is every community, every city has meetings where they talk about different topics and, you know, what they're bringing in. And it's important to be involved in that and send some of your guys over there, you know, to listen.
You're having a hard time getting the church involved.
Yeah.
I think that, like Brian Sumner talked about that too, that 85% of, you know, churches are focused on discipleship and only 15 are in evangelism and events like that and outreach outside the four walls. And I think it also is being able to approach your church with, hey, this is something that's biblical too. Like Brian said, we're called, you know, we're called to be fishers of men. And we're called to, you know, like to cast our nets. And we can't always be fishing a stocked pond. And so that's, I think that's something that all of us as evangelists need to be sharing with our churches. And it's not an easy thing. And it's not something a lot of churches go, hey, I'm going to get behind this. But I think if we're persistent and we're passionate and we don't give up, eventually churches are going to see. And there are churches out there that support it, but it's a lot more difficult as an outreach ministry or not being, you know, a church ministry within the four walls of the church. It's a lot more difficult to get the support you need, whether it's people or finances or any of that. So it's just, yeah, it's just being consistent and showing them, hey, there's definitely a need in our community. And I think churches slowly are starting to see, you know, with mental health and different things that there's a need even in within their church, but it's been a long time coming, you know. So
yeah.
I mean, we worked for a huge church in South Florida, and it has a big Christian school, and I know for a fact that kids weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. They were just better at covering it up than other schools. So it's just you know, letting. I think it's a lot of prayer and a lot of going, you know, and not giving up and showing, you know, showing a pastor, hey, this is how I can meet a need that we're called to as a church. And you might not have time to do it, or this might not be your call, but as part of your church, this is something that I can fulfill for you.
I think when you identify the need and you're doing the work, I think, you know, God's gonna, you know, you're the messenger for the church, and you speak passionately about what is needed. That's why I think being present in city council and meeting the mayor and meeting those people and being one of those like advocates that are there. Hey, we have problems with crime, and we have coming up with a solution, and then trying to communicate with the local churches. I think they're going to back you because, you know, there is that credibility. It's like, this is a city, you know what I mean? And I don't know. It's just, it's how what has been like. One of the things that I'm really advocating is most city parks in South Florida absolutely suck. You know, they're terrible. Mm-hmm. There's no city parks that kids can go for free. And the kids get pigeon like into like a little box of being derelicts and they skate. And I, because I and my wife were always involved in the city, and when it's time for us to talk, because they always let the community talk, I raise my hand and I go, hey, I think it's really important to have a city park. And this is the reason why. This is what skating has about. This is what I've seen. Mm-hmm. And because people have advocated that, we're getting some, you know, $1 million skate parks being built for the first time in South Florida, you know? Yeah. So and then how do you get the church involved? Well, we go and we talk to the different churches and say, hey man, we're building this church. I mean, building this skate park, and this is what's really cool. We can do camps out of here. We can get you guys involved and, you know, having them be involved and getting them in the vehicle that you're driving, which is your passion. For me, it's skate community. Yeah. It's having skate parks, man, and building them good, not.
But in reality, we'll have like for every four churches we go to, we might have one that says, hey, we're willing to do something. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's just like not giving up and just continue, not to let those no's discourage you, but keep looking for that one yes that's actually going to make a big difference. And I think then as the churches start seeing one church helping, you'll have that domino effect that they're like, oh wow, we see what's going on here. But it's just, in all reality, like we've approached so many churches in our local area, and it's funny because we can go to Africa and do something amazing there and get the whole community involved, But here in our, you know, in South Florida, in our backyard, we can't get, you know, one or two churches to do an event with us. So it's just, you know, it's not letting like those no's discourage you and have you give up, and just making sure if that's what God's calling you to do, and that's, you know, what you're committed to, it, you're consistent, and you're going to keep sharing that passion even when you get the no.
You know, one of the things that I've thought is, it almost requires a catalytic event. You know, 911 was kind of that catalytic event to rally churches to get serious and Christians.
Right.
Did you notice that with Stoneman Douglas shooting? And was that a catalytic event in your community?
I think that was a catalytic event. And then we live, you know, like right now we're doing a lot of Bahamas recovery stuff because of the storms. And so, yeah, I think anything like that, any tragedy is going to bring your community together. And so, you know, especially with what you're doing, it would have to take, you know, as far as a tragedy, take a big tragedy where somebody in a church,
which you hate,
something, and you
don't
want to
hope for
that
kind of thing. Right?
No, you don't hope for that, but you're just present. And again, it goes back, you know, to what we're talking about is, you know, to being actually present and in what's going on. Because you know what? Another thing that gathers people is when things are going well too. I mean, when I see a local, they're just building an amazing skate park in Miami. It's called Lot 11. It's you should see this park. It's amazing. Paul? Sick. And I am so excited because the community is celebrating. The Miami is excited to have this. And guess what? We're there being present, and we're trying to make sure the kids aren't going over there trying to, you know, blow it up. And we're just really excited. And the cities are listening to us. And, you know, we're going to be doing our surf skate science at Lot 11. You know, it's being present there.
Like you said, you have this guy coming in that's sharing his testimony. I think that does rally some, like some show of the need and some support, and that helps as well. But sometimes it just is that constant like chugging along, moving forward, and just, you know, being faithful. Sometimes it takes that too. I think it just, you know, God has his own timing, and it's not always our timing. You know what I mean? So, and it's,
I keep telling him.
Yeah, I know. It's just not always our timing. Yeah.
So what communities have you been involved with? What's your...
Well, it depends on the season.
Yeah.
We've had some... We went into a public housing and did a health fair.
Oh, wow.
So we had to go through the police, you know, and the fire department. And they said, well, what are you going to do for parking? I said, they don't have cars. They're just going to walk. It's public housing. Everybody just lives there. So we did HIV screening, results in 30 minutes.
Wow.
Just everybody, you know, we just went to all the hospitals, abortion alternative places, and then we got some churches to come out, and the people from the churches that came out from the rich communities, they were like, we've never been here before. I said, this is the only time you won't need a passport to get into a completely different culture.
Wow.
But it was, you know, the follow-up was difficult, though, because people really didn't want the reading curriculum, and it was hard. Mm-hmm. But I would say one thing that the Lord has spoke to me is that you can't reach who you don't love.
Mm-hmm.
And He will answer that prayer. That if you pray to learn and to be able to get the ability to love someone that He's given you, that they will know that you love them, and they will respond to the love. I don't think I, you know, Scripture would say that, you know, the message really is kind of flat without the love part. You know, and the one He sent to us died to show us His love. So, you know, we're not dying a lot.
Yeah.
I know I'm not.
Yeah.
But I think I'd probably have a better yield if I died a little more to give it up for Him. But another thing I think the Lord has spoke to me was I need to spend more time with fewer people.
Right.
because you can't really influence 1,000 or 10,000.
Or deeply influence.
Well, I mean, you can, you know, but you know, because we know that the message is one thing, but the model is trumps the message. Because the people in Jesus' time really knew the Word of God, but they didn't have the model of God.
Yeah.
They had the message of God, mm-hmm. but the model is what really brought the people in, because it was like, he's living this thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think you're all this, this relationship mm-hmm. is the model.
Yeah. And I mean, there's some other things, like I know in Houston, friends of ours do something called a community cup. They have a lot of refugees there. It's kind of like South Florida. We have people, tons of Venezuelans, tons of Brazilians, tons of people from all over Latin America, and they do something. So in Latin countries, and even a lot of European countries, soccer or football is very popular. So they started something where they do clinics, and then they do something in all the different communities. They have an Armenian community, they have, you know, different Latin, a Colombian community, and they do something called the Community Cup, and they bring all these different soccer leagues from the different soccer parks together to compete. And they all get super excited, and through that, they're able to share their faith. And but it's also that time that they each adopt one of those community parks that have regular soccer leagues, and they get involved with the leagues, and they know all the soccer players by name. They know about their families, and they're speaking to them weekly because they're practicing together, and they're spending time with them. And then at the big event, they actually share the gospel. But through that, throughout the year, through those soccer clinics and everything they're doing, they're sharing their faith, they're being an example, they're coaching them with biblical principles, and so they're changing the refugee villages of Houston just through playing football, which they all like to do. And so those are the kinds of things that, if you like soccer and that's something you're doing on a normal basis, why not use that as a place to share your faith? And you know, so those are just some other ways people are doing. I know, you know, Brett Davis, who founded Christian Surfers, has something called Shapers Bay, and they get a whole bunch of the surfers in the community together. And they don't have to be Christians. It's just men in the community, and they meet and they talk about life issues. But every time they talk about life issues, whether it's work or relationships or whatever, there's always a biblical principle. So they might not open the Bible, but they're in the basis of it is a biblical principle. And those men are eating together, they're living life together, and they're actually, you know, being discipled without even knowing they're being discipled. So
what's it called?
It's called Shaping Bay.
Is that like after shaping surfboards?
Shaping surfboards, yeah.
Are they all dudes that are shapers?
Surfers. They're just surfers.
Okay, and they'll just come and hang out with other surfers
and
talk
out
about
a
topic?
It's just that they have a topic every week, and they meet, and they eat dinner together, and they'll talk about just a topic everybody deals with, whether it's relationships, whether it's work, or...
You know, Paul... Yeah, I don't know if you know Paul Anderson. He founded Skate Church, and you know, I first met Paul. I didn't introduce myself to him, but I remember Paul at Beach Fest. He spoke. I remember he was he had a horse. You know, but he had this love and heart for God that he shared the gospel. And I remember seeing all those kids respond, man. Remember that? And it was like, I was just like blown away by these kids, because here it is, you know, we've got Ram 48, we're doing, and it was like hundreds of kids came forward. And I remember the Bible study after Beach Fest, all those kids came into Ram 48 because they had a place to come and gather. Last night, I was at Skate Church, and I saw these kids, and the crazy thing that I saw is that they weren't little grumps. They were like older kids, and they're there, man. They're there, and they were skating, and then the way they shared, it was like they spoke their language. It was it's the coolest thing. And you know, Paul's drawn to that community, and he's put in a lot of work to love that community. And though he may not be there every week, he's raised up other people to do that. And it's cool, man. Like, you know, and And I think when you think of, you know, like being able to serve your community is also, and sharing your faith in community is also discipling other people to be able to go out and do that too and being an example. So I think it's awesome. And Paul, like, let me ask you something, because one of the things is, like, when you would see those kids come forward, were you ever, like, discouraged of, like, how they're going to, like, connect with it? Or did you connect with, like...
I always feel like I'm so stoked if someone responds to the gospel, but I also, since I've been doing it forever, I mean, I think this is true in all youth ministry, like 20 or 25% of those kids will follow Jesus and 80% of them will Jesus. And so it's like both thrilling and like annoying at the same time. And in part of, I don't know how to figure it out, but I think it'd be cool if, I mean, that was the perfect situation because, you know, Pachonis and you and all those guys actually had a place and were inviting them and you guys got all the ramps and you're like, come here. And then that, so it wasn't the church's fault if those kids didn't follow the Lord, it was the kids' fault.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good situation, like a rarely good situation where you have an outreach. And here's the frustration is most outreaches are, they really connect to the kids, and that's why they go to the event anyway, or the thing, because they want to be there because whatever that thing is, they're giving away things or someone cool's there or whatever. But then they say, go to church, and then that's like a boo, like it's, yeah. It went from this is Disneyland to like, I'm going to go hang out with grandma.
Yeah.
And so that's, it was cool. Because you guys had a legit church that actually cared about the kids. But yeah, it frustrates me every time if people come to the Lord, are they going to get followed up and get a chance to follow Jesus?
That's something like...
It's hard, dude.
Yeah, I mean, because we're talking about community spaces, right? Sticky spaces, leaving a place to impact the community. And Ramp 48, I'm going to be 100% honest, was modeled after Skate Church. And I think, I know that for Mike Pachonis would tell me about Paul Anderson and stuff like that. And I remember seeing the videos of Skate Church that he used to do and stuff like that. And we didn't really, I didn't know him, but it was like, man, we had an example and we were skateboarders, you know, and we had this ramp and it was, we had the freedom to do a Bible study, you know? We had the freedom. It's like the surf lessons that I go to. They have the freedom to say, hey, we're going to let Yuli do a quick verse. You know what I mean? They have the freedom to do that. But some different communities, you don't have that freedom. You know what I mean? But it's good to have when you do something like evangelical to yeah. get them connected. Usually it's through your local churches, right? And have that connections. One of the things I remember being involved in, it wasn't a Palau Fest, but it was another local fest. I'm not going to mention it. When they had over 2,000 decisions, and they had these decision cards. And those decision cards sat in my living room for, do you remember that? Forever. And do you know that I would lose sleep and have nightmares because I didn't know what to do with those decisions.
The churches were supposed to pick them up.
They were supposed to pick up. No one picked them up. And I'm not blaming the local church. I'm just saying that is a huge responsibility, because when you think about being in your community, and you said something that was very profound to me. You were talking about the numbers. Like sometimes I have to think of the lesser numbers because it's so much, it's doable to do three or four guys rather than do three. Like, look at, I literally had 2,000 decisions and I knew exactly what the stack looks like, okay? I still remember them. And it was heartache, you know?
Part of like, you know, like the description of our thing is that Fuller Youth Institute said that over 500 youth adults and 70, that were Christians, that 70% of them said they had doubts in their faith, but they didn't have anywhere they felt they could go to ask those questions. And so,
yeah.
So I think that those places, those community spaces, and if you're investing in just a few, and you're having those deeper relationships that you have built that trust, and like we said, relationships move at the speed of trust.
So you're allowing those people to have enough trust in you that they can ask those difficult questions. And I think in a normal church situation, a lot of people are scared to share that they have doubts. They put on a face and say, oh yeah, you know, praise Jesus, everything's great. But we all doubt every once in a while. We all go through hard seasons in our life. And have we built those deep relationships where somebody feels comfortable enough to say, hey, you know, this is where I'm struggling. Yuli builds ramps sometimes with a friend of ours. He builds skate parks. And one time they called me from the cart just to share because they were having a debate. And he grew up, his dad was in a motorcycle gang, really harsh guy, says he's an atheist, and Yuli's in the car. And they're having this debate about Jesus. And it was super funny. And they put me on speakerphone.
Jay Rantz. You know Jay, right?
They put me on speakerphone, and they were going at it back and forth. But they have that relationship and that mutual respect that Jay can ask Yuli a question, and he knows Yuli's not going to be offended. He's still going to love him either way. And those are the kind of relationships that when you really invest in somebody's life, whether they proclaim God or not, but Jay was asking some questions.
And like something really funny happened with that. And I'm gonna share and be honest with you guys. I got hurt pretty bad through my relationship with my church, you know? And there was a day that I was in a very dark place, and I found myself really convicted, and I was like really just mad. All right? And I got a phone call, and guess who it was? It was Jay. And guess where he was? He was at church. He was at church. And guess where I was? I was on a beach complaining to God. Like, I was just so angry. And he goes, Jay, he goes, Yuli, where are you? I go, aren't you at church? And I go, no. And he goes, guess what? I'm at church right now, man. God told me to come to church. What are you doing? I'm looking for you. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like, and this is a guy, guys, he is building Lot 11 right now. He's got huge influence. And he is an amazing guy. And I saw, it's just funny how that works. You know what I mean? Here we are, he's an atheist. But now he's going to church and he believes in God now. You know, and it's a pretty cool thing, but it's just funny, you know, like, you know, because we're going to have those seasons where we get discouraged, and people, not God, people are going to disappoint you. So what are you going to do? Blame God? And like, and that's one thing I can tell you through my experience with a broken church and all the politics and everything that happened. I never abandoned God. I always had God. My faith is there. It was just, I was just angry at people. And, you know, this is what someone told me. Someone told me this. He goes, Yuli, God created people. So you got to understand, if you believe in God and you trust God, then you need to trust that God's doing work in people. So don't be so disappointed. Just find the good people and those that did you wrong. Learn to forgive them if you have to distance yourself. And that was such a good example. Like, I was like, all right. And guess what? A person that told me wasn't really a believer. He was just kind of like just some random guy that saw I was complaining to him. And he's like, man, you got to stop complaining, dude. You know? So, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, again, you know, like, I just think, it's really important. Community spaces are really important to identify and go and be present. And then also, I think listening to you, I think it's important to get our churches involved. But it's also important to be involved in the church just as much as you're involved in the community spaces. Because I'll give you an example. I need to be more involved in my church. I go to church lately because my wife is like, listen, we gotta go, you know? And I'm like, oh, diving's my church, man, or skateboarding's my church. And she's like, yeah, okay. Are you going next week? And you know, no, but guess what's happening? Lately, man, my son and I just had a conversation about church, and it was beautiful. And I'm going, wow, man, I see the importance of church. I think it's important. What Brian said earlier, it's so important. It's so important to have the evangelist at the church. An evangelist should be we shouldn't be on our own island doing our own cool thing, because we could, right? We can make, I can exist at the beach and have my own church and do dive church, right?
Yeah.
But am I connecting with our local church and being available?
And then also teaching them the need, why they need to be connected to community. I think, and it's difficult. It's not easy. And like where you're at is a difficult place. I mean, they're starting to more and more, but a lot of people didn't get skate ministry. They don't care about skaters. They're like, why? We don't want them on our property. So those are things like.
So why don't we, real quick, it would be rad if we can just pray. I'd like to open it up to all of you to pray as well. And maybe we can just pray for a community that we're involved in. So I'll start. And of course, Lord, I just thank you, God, for you, Lord, and for giving us the platform to be involved in surf skate science. And Lord, I just want to pray for that community. I want to pray, Lord, for those kids and the families that are represented in surf skate science, Lord. Continue to give us the faith and the resources, Lord, to educate, which is a huge responsibility, God. Because education is something that is good, but it also can be bad. And Lord, I just really just want to seek you, God, and ask you to allow your will to be done through Surfskate Science, Lord. Allow us to understand how we can make your name, your son, presence in Surfskate Science. So Lord, thank you so much for allowing us to impact those families, and just thank you so much.